This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Hey, Mike Valeni here, host of Cash the Ticket alongside my partner, Jim Costa. It's really simple. Are you tired of podcasts claiming they're a bunch of pro bettors when they live in their mommy's basement? Are you tired of podcasts that claim they hit 80% of the games when really they just lose like most of us? Then Cash the Ticket's the spot for you. We're real. We're transparent. We're having a hell of a good time with it. And we sit there and we're there for the sweat with you guys. We're just trying to figure it out just like you. Follow and listen to Cash the Ticket on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Time to go around the AFC North. Remember, all guests appear on the North Olmsted Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram hotline. And we have three of them. And it starts with Bob Haney, 105.7 The Fan in Baltimore, where the Ravens can kill the Bengals' season this Sunday. Do you feel that way? Do you feel the Ravens can put them to sleep?
Oh, absolutely. And as a matter of fact, I said on our show, me and Vinny, on Monday morning, that if they beat Cincinnati, it'll be the impetus for them running away with the AFC North. And then I started looking at the schedule a little more closely, and then I'm thinking, the Washington game's not going to be as easy as we thought. Winning in Tampa is nothing easy. Well, Denver did it. And then going to see you guys in Cleveland, then Denver, and then Cincinnati again. But to your point, yeah, they'll finish off the Bengals, but not necessarily run away and hide from the North just yet. They will eventually, just not in October.
Now that you got to see vintage Derrick Henry, he had the 87-yard touchdown scamper, had just a yard shy of 200 yards. Is it making people start to think differently about the ceiling of the Baltimore Ravens?
Sure, because I think the last 2 weeks against Dallas and against Buffalo, we're seeing what the true, air quotes, identity of the offense is. Lamar threw 15 passes against the Cowboys, only 18 against Buffalo. Quarterback rating was over 130 in both of them as he was efficient in those limited pass attempts. But Derrick Henry getting the ball over 20 times, Justice Hill is a nice complimentary back. I think what you've seen the last 2 weeks from this Ravens offense is what they're trying to be. Question around here is, all right, what if they're down 17 points? Then what are you going to do?
What'd they do to stop Josh Allen?
I think they put pressure on him. I mean, they were getting him out of the pocket, took away the running game. James Cook really didn't have much of a day. I thought the front seven was outstanding in that performance. Look, Josh Allen's a stud. I mean, he made the throw falling out of bounds, throws it 40 yards across his body to Shakur, but I think they got him off his mark. They limited his running opportunities because he's like Lamar Jackson. He can beat you with his arm and with his legs. They just had him a little bit out of sorts, and you know the Ravens dominated them offensively, so he was kind of out of the game. You know, then the flea flicker that was the turnover, that was kind of the questionable call, but the kind of the game sealer for the Ravens.
Well, you get off to that slow start, obviously, but two very winnable games, and now the bounce back, and Buffalo is 3-0. When we do our, each and every week, our seven in heaven. I had Baltimore at number two, just based on that ceiling. I mean, in reality, I mean, what they just showed, that was better than anything Kansas City has shown this year. Is it a Super Bowl or bust still mentality there in Baltimore?
No, absolutely. I mean, because they've been to the championship game. They've been to the playoffs for pretty much the entirety of Lamar's career. The only time they missed was when he got hurt in 2021. If they don't win the Super Bowl or at least get to it, it's going to be a frustrating end to the season, much like we're seeing with the Orioles possibly as soon as today.
Devontae Adams, are they interested?
I was watching NFL Network, and one of the expert types said the Baltimore could be a team interested. But again, they've thrown 33 passes the last two games. Mark Andrews has 9 targets for the season. After the big opening day, Isaiah Likely's had 5 or 6. Zay Flowers had 3. So you need him for what? I mean, there's still going to be a running team, and is he going to come in here and be frustrated with the lack of targets and the fact that he'll be more of a blocker than he will be a big play receiver?
Bob Haney, 105.7 The Fan in Baltimore, as the Ravens get set to take on the Bengals, and they will be at Cincinnati on Sunday at 1 o'clock. And in the host city, we welcome in Mo Egger, ESPN 1530 in Cincinnati. Mo, season on the line on Sunday, eh?
Has to be, yeah. The difference between 2-3 and 1-4 for the Bengals is massive. At 2-3, you've got consecutive wins, a head-to-head victory over the Baltimore Ravens. At 1-4, boy, then you're going to have to go like 9-3 the rest of the way just to get to 10 victories. With this defense, I don't think that can happen. Yes, season very much on the line on Sunday.
Why is the pass rush not good?
They don't have enough good pass rushers. They don't have enough good, healthy pass rushers. You know, Trey Hendrickson, for the most part, has been really, really good. He suffered a neck stinger on Sunday, had to come out of the game. Beyond that, Miles Murphy, who they drafted in the first round in 2023, hasn't played a snap yet. Joseph Osai has been a disappointment. Sheldon Rankins, who they acquired to give them more of a pass rush up the middle, when he has played, hasn't been very good. Didn't play against Carolina last week. They don't have enough guys who can go and get after the quarterback, and they don't have a defensive coordinator who really likes to send a lot of guys. They've blitzed maybe a fifth of the time so far this season, so I don't know that that's going to change. I think they're very much dealing with a team that, if they're going to be relevant in December and January, is almost going to have to win in spite of their defense and in spite of a lack of pass rush.
So Ja'Marr Chase had that insane 63-yard touchdown catch, the yards after the catch. I mean, it looked like the Ja'Marr Chase that people in Cincinnati thought could be the best wide receiver in football. But other than that, he only had two catches. Is there something off right now between Burrow and Chase?
Well, if you look at the box score, I would say no, because they scored a bunch of points. They have 77 points over the last two games, 8 touchdowns. They have a multitude of weapons. You know, Zach Taylor has talked for a while about, we want to have multiplicity. They run the ball effectively, 4.5 yards a carry last week. They've got good tight ends, a pretty deep wide receiver core. But if you watch the game, you know, Joe's one mistake in that game came on a miscommunication with Ja'Marr Chase. He throws in an interception. And so you would think if there are two players on the team who are not going to have any miscommunication issues, it would be Joe Burrow and Ja'Marr Chase. They've played fine, but yeah, I mean, it hasn't been vintage Ja'Marr Chase. And when you, I guess, when you see some of the mistakes we saw last week, you see the miscommunication between those two players, you wonder, A, what's up, and B, if whatever's up is going to be rectified soon.
Mo Egger with us, giving us the perspective from Cincinnati. So much of the conversation about dealing with a salary cap up here in Cleveland is the benefit of having an owner who will spend nonstop and put together some of the most expensive rosters in NFL history. In Cincinnati, is there talk a lot down there about payroll, about ownership, locking up guys long-term, and do you think that can permeate in a locker room?
Well, I think it can permeate in a locker room. And look, I mean, the Bengals' reputation is pretty well established. I think within that, though, they've got a track record of paying the players, their best players who play the positions they value the most. I think the question is, should they readjust what they value, right? Like, they've paid in the past A.J. Green and Geno Atkins and Carlos Dunlap, and I mean, heck, Joe Burrow got a $270 million contract. They value the players who play those positions. What they don't necessarily value as much are safeties, which is why Jesse Bates is now playing and playing well for the Atlanta Falcons. And since he left, that position has been a problem. What they value is their way of doing things, which is, we'll give you a contract extension. We're not going to do it before you have 1 year remaining on your deal, which is why Ja'Marr Chase didn't get his deal this season. I think he can impact the team, but I also think this is kind of a byproduct of having good players, right? The Bengals were paying their absolute best guys when they didn't have that many of them. Now they've got players worth investing in, worth keeping. You're not going to be able to keep them all. They've also never been in this situation with a quarterback occupying this significant a chunk of the team's payroll. When Andy Dalton was the 22nd highest paid quarterback in the sport, it's a lot easier to pay all of his teammates. little bit different when you have Joe Burrow making the kind of coin he is.
The outstanding Mo Egger, ESPN 1530 in Cincinnati, as the Bengals get set to host the Ravens. We now go to Pittsburgh. 93.7 The Fan Zone. Chris Muller joins us as the Steelers get set to host Dallas. 8:20 Sunday night. Davante Adams, yes or no?
No. No.
Why?
No. Because he's going to want a restructure, because none of his money's guaranteed after this year. Like, I love the player. The player's really, really good still. He is at an age when most wide receivers start to slide down the cliff a little bit here. Like, Julio Jones was around this age when it just kind of fell off the table for him. But the guy has no guaranteed money left after this year. So, like, I think one of the things that's underreported about that whole situation is he's going to want new money. He's going to want a new contract whenever he actually gets traded. Like, there's going to want to be assurances there. I don't like the contract situation. I don't like the age of the player there. If you could just tell me that he was available for a late round pick as a strict rental this year, and then you dump him off, eat whatever dead money you'd have to eat, and go for it, you know, go forward after that, sure. But that's not how it would work. And so I have to say no.
All right, Justin Fields, you could make the argument, played his best game of the season with the Pittsburgh Steelers, but at the same time, it was a loss. And in the fourth quarter, we're no stranger to this in Cleveland, but there was a snafu with a snap as he was apparently not expecting the football when it came, and it basically killed the drive. What'd you think of the Fields experience?
I mean, I'll be honest. I thought it was his best game, and one of the things we had all been collectively asking in Pittsburgh for the first three games was they were constantly playing from ahead. They were dictating terms to the first three teams they played, and he looked really good, I think, in that context and looked better each game. The Chargers game was his best. We all asked, though, is this guy going to blink if they get down by two scores in a game? Like, what's going to happen? Is he going to revert back to old Justin Fields? And, you know, he was part of the problem. I mean, the first snap of the game, they again had a center quarterback exchange problem where he got his foot stepped on. There was obviously what you just mentioned at the end of the game, which he took the blame for. He said, that's on me. I put my leg up. That means the ball can come out at any time. Like, I've got to be ready for it, which he did. I was super encouraged by what I saw. I mean, when they actually were in dire straits after he had an ugly fumble where he also took the blame and said, I got to get the ball out there, he ripped off three touchdown drives in a row. You guys want to know the last time they put up three touchdown drives in a row in one game?
When?
It was 2021, Ken. It's that lady in the Titanic meme. It's been 86 years since this team actually looked competent. I come away from it pretty encouraged. So do my dogs, apparently.
What's going on there? What is happening?
My wife just took our son to the bus stop, and she walked back in the door, and my dogs are dumb enough to think that, like, some intruder was coming in and not just my wife walking back in the house.
Looking to trade Russell Wilson?
Not yet. I don't think. Although, let me tell you this. This relates to, like, the Fields question and just the level of belief. Tomlin yesterday, it was the most that Mike Tomlin has ever, like, acknowledged that Justin Fields might be playing his way into just a Russell Wilson as Wally Pipp situation. I don't think they're looking to trade him yet. If you get, like, two more really good games out of Justin Fields, suddenly if the price got right because Miami got desperate enough, and my God, did you watch them? I mean, they should be desperate. That was horrifying, what Huntley did. Then maybe they would do it. But I would say it's like 80% no, 85% no. They'd have to be bowled over by an offer.
Do you believe in the start that the Pittsburgh Steelers have had?
I think so, yeah. I mean, this is the part of the schedule they're supposed to be winning football games.
So
I mean,
they're a playoff team to you?
Yeah. Right now, yes. Apparently, again, my dogs disagree with this assessment. But, yeah, I mean, here's what's worrisome to me. I don't know. This is frustrating to me. They should have beaten the Colts. They go in there. Your defense is supposed to be, like, what carries you. They get absolutely scorched. Shane Steichen absolutely has Tomlin's number. Then they finally knock Richardson out of the game. Like, maybe, okay, hey, we got a sitting duck back there. It's Joe Flacco. And he just comes in and takes out a Ginsu knife and just carves them up for, like, the majority of the game. That's frustrating. They still could get to the bye, like, 7-1, 6-2. And then we see what Justin Fields is really made of, assuming he's still their starting quarterback, which I think he will be by then, because that schedule stiffens badly for the last nine games. But, yes, I would say, like, I'm 60% sure that they're a playoff team right now.
Is Paul Skeens more popular than any Steelers outside of T.J. Watt right
now?
No. actually.
Where is he? Power rank him. Power rank the popular Pittsburgh Steelers. Chris, one moment as we queue up the power rank
power
music.
Power rank him. Here we go.
Start at number one. Go.
Most popular Steelers or just Pittsburgh athletes?
Pittsburgh athletes.
Pittsburgh athletes. There you go.
Active athletes. Sidney Crosby, one. Probably T.J. Watt, two. In a surprise, Pat Freiermuth somehow three.
Oh my God. Stop it.
Oh my God.
Just because people like saying Muth. Skeens is four. And, I can't even pick a fifth. Chris Boswell, number five.
Chris Boswell. Even he's laughing about that. Have you guys already begun the countdown to not being able to afford Paul Skeens?
Dude, Ken, I'm not. Genuinely not kidding about this.
Yeah.
That happened the day he made his major league debut. It's like, I don't know. Do you guys feel this? I guess like the Guardians have actually signed a couple of guys. Like the Pirates gave Brian Reynolds a 9-figure extension. That's fine. They gave Mitch Keller an extension. But like, I don't know. If you guys had Paul Skeens up there, don't you think fans would be feeling the same way?
We have so much money over here, Chris. We pay a former leadoff hitter $5 million this year just to play in Columbus.
It's almost too much money.
It's falling out of our pockets.
Got a money problem.
We have so much money up here, the owner's brother is running for Congress. Yeah.
I'm surprised you guys haven't just pooled all that money and just made a stadium appear in Brook Park out of nowhere.
Well, you never know what's going to come out of our sleeves. Keep an eye on us.
I mean, Livy Dunn is going to leave Pittsburgh for Cleveland where there's more money.
She, you know what? She probably likes Pittsburgh as much as he does because she is literally the most famous person in Pittsburgh when she's there. Like, she becomes the biggest star in the entire city because of, like, the TMZ effect. It's ridiculous.
Yeah, but Travis Kelce's from here and Taylor Swift comes here.
Yeah.
She'll probably be here on December 15th.
Is he the guy behind that garage beer stuff, by the way?
Well, he's invested in it.
Okay, yeah. So it's he and Jason Kelce. Man, yeah. I don't like that stuff now as much as I used to.
Wow, strong conversation from Chris. Tough talking Chris Muller. Mitch is very good at working me into a shoot with his fandom. I made a big deal because he's hosting the Guardians postgame show on Saturday, and he's I'm a half a Yankee fan, and I go, you're either full or bad. So it came down to, we were discussing on Monday that, you know, Detroit and the Houston Astros are playing to see who goes to the ALDS or in the wild card round right now. And Detroit is...
Hey, Mike Valenti here, host of Cash the Ticket alongside my partner, Jim Costa. It's really simple. Are you tired of podcasts claiming they're a bunch of pro bettors when they live in their mommy's basement? Are you tired of podcasts that claim they hit 80% of the games when really they just lose like most of us? Then Cash the Ticket's the spot for you. We're real, we're transparent, we're having a hell of a good time with it. And we sit there and we're there for the sweat with you guys. We're just trying to figure it out just like you. Follow and listen to Cash the Ticket on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Up 1-0. That series starts again today, 2:30, I think it is, on ABC. That series, first pitch again today around 2:30 on ABC, game two. And somebody, I wasn't like paying attention. I don't even know if the conversation was towards me. It was around me. That, Mitch, you have 5 Detroit Tigers hats?
I counted it in here. I think it's up to 6.
He brought them all. Bring him in here. Bring him in here. Let's go. Can we get this mic on or not? I don't. Yeah. Okay, so move the coffee pot. Bring the coffee pot around. Who cares? Put it on the ground. Don't drop your hats all over the place. Put the coffee pot on the floor, son. There you go. Thank you. Now pick up the hats and hold the hats and use this chair. I'm going to get this out. We need to discuss this because you're not a Guardians fan. You're a baseball fan. I worked in baseball. I knew a lot of ball players back then, which everybody keeps trying to guess the 2016 Guardians player that everybody loves that I couldn't stand because I knew he was a jerk in real life. However, I worked with a lot of ball players. I worked with a lot of ball players in college. And there are a lot of guys, like, you remember we used to say this about Dustin. Like, Dustin, he's a football guy, but he wasn't like, I'm a hardcore so-and-so. It wasn't like that for him. Probably because his family played in the NFL, and maybe that, like, took a lot of the luster off. But you'd notice, I don't know if you've noticed this, there are baseball fans, ball players. We are talking to a guy who was all Ohio over here. And then there are, like, I'm a Guardians fan. Like, my baseball playing days ended when I was cut by Frank Gamble freshman year. But I'm a Guardians fan.
formerly Indians fan. Same deal. I only wear a Guardians hat. He, over here, has five hats, claims to be a Guardians fan. He's not a Guardians fan. He's a baseball fan.
I am a Guardians fan, but I can wear other teams' merchandise.
No, you can't. They're in our division. You cannot
do that. It's a fashion thing.
You can get mad, and you can talk about fashion all you want. I've seen what you walk in here with. You look like a mechanic most of the time. But
What mechanic are you going to that you see the stuff that I'm wearing and go, mechanic?
Do you want to tell them about the secret tweets?
Every mechanic who wears the blue button-ups.
Yeah. By the way, I haven't seen a mechanic wear that in 20 years.
You're down 0-1 right now in the count.
He looks like a classic mechanic that you would see in a Norman Rockwell painting.
Wearing a t-shirt and like Coke bottle glasses. That's your mechanic.
And then you walk in with the 90s flannel shirt on and the white shirt underneath.
Yeah.
You wear that a lot. Then there's the hats. The hat thing, they're not... First, you didn't even know it was a White Sox hat you were wearing the one day. It can't be a fashion statement if you have five hats or six hats of the team that's in your division.
It's not only a fashion statement, too, but it's me being able to get around the fact that my school doesn't use a professional logo, my old high school, so I can wear these hats and pretend it's my school when I go back there.
You're 27 years old. Why do you need to pretend anything about high school?
If I go back there for a sporting event, I can wear this. It's easy to wear.
I've been to Perry games. I don't wear anything Perry.
Do your friends...
Man, you are.
Do your friends, Mitch,
I'm an alum,
wear a lot of different hats?
Do my friends?
A lot of baseball hats? Yeah. None of my friends did this.
No.
This is a difference in generation. I was talking to somebody last night about this. There is a difference in where I think a lot of younger fans, because of kind of what you said about, you know, them gravitating more towards players rather than teams, they might be okay with wearing something like this, where back then it might have been considered blasphemous.
But I was back then, and I told you, my roommate in college, who I've known since I was 5 years old, Brett, was a ball player. His brother was a ball player. Their uncle is a professional major league scout. Right now, as I say this sentence, they had hats of every team. They're baseball guys. You are a baseball guy. You can't sit there and say, I'm a hardcore Guardians fan, and then in the next sentence say, oh, I also like the Yankees, and I like the Tigers' hats.
No, yeah, the
That's
hats
not
are,
how
this,
that works.
First of all, none of the hats have the main logo, the D on them. They're all the alternate Tiger face logo. So I'm not... outright going for Detroit or the Detroit Tigers baseball club.
It looks like a Bengals hat to me.
This is not a Bengals hat. There was all the Bengals. I mean, this is a much better logo than the Bengals. Do the Bengals even have a face logo? I don't even know if they do.
They do.
Yes, they do.
I was making sure. This looks much better than that one, so I'll wear that. I will not wear the Bengals
Bring them over here. I want to see them and thump through them. Now go back in the other room and screen these calls that probably want to yell at you.
That he's never going to put them through.
Bring the box over here, Mitch.
Some of these are not all Detroit.
They look like they're all Detroit.
They're not.
Some of these are Strasburg hats.
One's a Strasburg hat.
One looks like a Syracuse hat. All right, this is his, if you can see this, this is a Tiger hat, right?
Yeah.
Okay. Then there's this one that looks exactly like that one, except this one's not a snapback. These are his fashion statements. These are Mitch's fashion statements here. He is on, by the way, ladies, he's on Bumble. There's another Tiger hat that he has.
Is he wearing these hats in his social media?
You can say it on the radio whether or not
on
you are.
Dating have sites. To
do so, I'm not on Bumble.
That's why we talk about
can you
it
wear,
the show.
Can you be a Guardians fan and wear other hats?
I just don't think you can. I don't think you can. I've seen people do this with college, but in college...
This looks like a Clemson hat.
There are so many universities, there's so many institutions. People like to wear, you know, certain hats of certain teams because it's funny. Oh, get it? The double entendre.
South Carolina hat.
Yeah, South Carolina. Ooh. Like, so I get that.
This
but
is a Strasburg hat I'm showing on the...
That is Strasburg, yes.
Oh, yeah, it does look a little
this is also
Syracuse-y.
This is a Dabo Sweeney special right
that
here.
That is Clemson, yes. Yeah, okay. There are two Clemson hats in there. Yes.
Look like you're about to run out there and lose. All right. Yeah, you can't. No, you can't do that. 216-474-0092. Am I wrong here, Owen, about the hats?
No.
Thank you.
You wear the same hat every single day. I just wear different hats.
I wear different colors of the same hat, and I don't pretend it's an American League umpire hat. It's an Avon Lake hat.
That's, first of all, it doesn't look like an American League umpire hat. That's not here. My White Sox hat looks more like an umpire hat than yours.
He's stepping into the octagon against Owen.
Shut his mouth and let anyone else talk about their thing right now. He's going to yell over everyone.
There you go, Mitch.
Because that's how he's going to win his argument, is just going, I'm not wrong, you're wrong.
I'm winning this argument by ration and logic.
Are you?
You're not, Mitch.
Colin, Cuyahoga Falls, can you wear other teams' hats and consider yourself a Guardians fan?
Absolutely not.
Thank God.
Absolutely not.
I would imagine. Colin, thank you very much for the call. 216-474-0092. I don't think it's a generational thought. I think it's a team thought. There are people. By the way, if you're a big baseball, like Mitch, you're allowed to be a baseball guy. Baseball needs fans. By the way, not just attendance, but viewership way up.
Way up.
Way up with the pitch clock.
Especially in the demographic they're chasing.
Yes.
Young people, 18 to 30.
It worked.
They have seen skyrocketing numbers.
It worked. Good for them. It worked. I'm happy to see that. I want more people interested in the baseball. Like, I can't sit there. Could I imagine? And maybe you and I are different. Our picture's on the website. Mitch's picture's not on the website. Our picture's changed, by the way.
We didn't know which hat you had to wear to represent yourself.
I cannot say, go Guardians, talk to Guardians fans, and walk around in a Seattle Mariners hat.
No, it makes no sense. And I don't even think it's an American League, National League thing. I just don't think you can do it.
Like, there's nice hats. Like, I actually got to tell you, the D logo that the Tigers have had for over 100 years, nice logo. Clean hat, clean logo. Can't wear it. Can't wear it.
Really,
I can say that's nice.
Baseball has the best logos, does it not?
Some of them, probably. Some of the old ones, too.
That St. Louis logo for me is amazing, that interlocking STL. The Yankees, if it wasn't the Yankees NY interlocking is not horrible.
Let me get a Robert in Brecksville real quick. Hello, Robert. Go ahead.
Hey, so I agree with Mitch if the situation is just. So, Ken, so even though I met you for the preseason game in Seattle and everything, I flew to Oakland for the last Athletics game last Thursday, and I had no problem whatsoever wearing an Oakland Athletics hat in support of the team. So if it's for a just reason, yes.
No, I don't agree with that.
Mitch, do you have any just reasons?
I don't agree with that.
Mitch, every time you wear that team's hat, are you supporting that team?
No.
Then that's a disagreement with the collar.
Why are you wearing the hat?
Wore his for the reason.
Because I bought the hat wanting to wear said hat.
I don't think you can sit there and change hats all the time and say you stand for anything.
You discredit my Guardians fandom so much to the point where I'm not going to be able to enjoy a World Series run, potentially.
I should enjoy it because I've been a fan
of the team for 15, 20, 27 years.
Hey, I could say I'm a marathon runner for 38 years. I'm not a marathon runner. You are not a Guardians fan. We'll get to more of you guys next on The Fan. It's like the people who were supporting the Bengals the other year because they're from Ohio. A thousand percent. You cannot do that.
Yeah, the only caveat I'm trying to think of is in college. Like I said, there's so many teams. You know, people like to go see other teams and other conferences, maybe take a tour of a stadium. Doesn't mean that you don't still love your team, but, you know, you went to Notre Dame, you bought Notre Dame gear, you've got Iowa State gear.
Yeah, but I'm not a hardcore Buckeye fan or anything. I'm a college football guy. Yeah, I'm a college football guy. So I'll wear whatever. It plays right into the point. I own gear from lots of other things.
But like in the past in college football, you never, like if you're up north, you're never truly competing with a team in the Pac-12, Pac-10, whatever.
No.
So, you know, if you went out there, have an experience, hey, I'm going to tour the campus. I'm going to take a look at USC. I mean, you know, how many times is that going to really anger the people in Columbus if they see a USC hat? You know, up until now, they're in the same conference.
You know what? I always said that the people at Duke were inhospitable when I went there. I remember I was wearing an Ohio State hat when I walked on that campus. So they were not the Southern
hospitality.
Southern hospitality was out the window, buddy. They were downright not nice. Not nice folks to me at the campus of Duke University. So I think that goes out the window. I'm pointing out that as a 27-year-old man, Mitch, who owns a bunch of different hats, you can be a baseball fan. No one's questioning your love of the game of baseball, but you can't sit there and tell everybody you're a big Guardians fan and then also own Yankees hats and wear the Yankees stuff and like the Yankees and say you like the Yankees. That's not how that works.
So
you can't
limits.
Own Tigers fan, Tigers stuff. You can't do that stuff. No.
I have limits to this stuff. There
no,
are teams
don't.
With the stuff that I will not wear.
But your opinion of that or you're saying that, it goes out the window. Like, I don't believe you.
I will not wear Michigan stuff. I will not wear Red Sox stuff. I will not wear Astros stuff.
I feel like Ken would wear Michigan stuff and have no problem.
Oh, of course I believe that. Absolutely.
Yeah,
he hates Ohio State.
He's a college football fan.
I would. Actually, no, I wouldn't because I don't need the harassment. You've got people to block me on Twitter just because I'm a big Michigan fan, you say, which I'm not.
I hate Ohio State.
I don't hate Ohio State. That is a fake clip. Before AI is when that came out. I don't hate Ohio State. In fact, I get very nostalgic about my old fandom, my old hardcore fandom of Ohio State. Don't turn this on me. We're talking about Mitch right now. Glenn and Ravenna, you're next up on the Fan. Go ahead.
Yeah, so you cannot be a Guardians fan and have all those hats. It's impossible to be wearing other teams' hats and then call you. You're a fan of baseball, like you said. I agree with that.
Yeah.
And just for example, I lived in Wisconsin for a while, and when I lived out there, one of my roommates was from Erie, PA, but he was a diehard Browns fan. And he was the first one to get a chance to go to a game at Lambeau Field between the two of us. But he didn't get to go to a Browns game. It was the Packers. I think it was. I think they were playing the Raiders or something. I'm not even exactly sure who they were playing. But he is a diehard Browns fan. He went to this game. He decked himself out in everything Browns: hat, gloves, coat, everything. He wore his whole Browns gear, and the Browns weren't even playing. Now, and also, if you did that in Cleveland, I don't know. I think people would probably make fun of you and tell you you're at the wrong game, but they all high-fived him when he went to the Lambeau.
I've seen plenty of people, Glenn. This is a great point. Thank you for the call. Like, when I go up, walking up to the tailgate at home games, there is at least half a dozen people as I'm walking by where I notice they're wearing different jerseys of teams that aren't even involved in the game.
Yeah, aren't even part of
not
that
Browns
battle.
Yeah. Or not Giants. It's just like, hey, this person's wearing a Carolina Panthers jersey. They're a Panthers fan, and they happen to have family here or whatever reason. Or they're touring NFL stadiums, which I don't think there's
what
really a reason to tour
Panthers
NFL stadiums. Huh?
What numbers on that Panthers
The last one I saw was a Cam Newton jersey.
Oh, okay.
It was the Cam Newton jersey I saw.
I heard they sold the number 6 here very well.
Okay. That's a fair point. We know one guy over in North Olmsted who has one. He also has a Tampa Bay Buccaneers jersey now, didn't he?
At least it wasn't Ray Carruth.
Susan and Westlake, you're next up on the Fan.
Hello?
Susan.
Hey. So I just wanted to comment. I have a 15-year-old son, huge Cleveland sports fan, huge Guardians fan, has about a dozen ball caps from different teams. He loves the City Connect caps. He collects them. He has rules. He won't buy anything from the AL Central. He won't buy Yankees. He won't buy Astros. Right. But it is 100% a fashion statement
for
this younger teenage generation. So all of his friends do it.
But Susan, that's
well,
you say,
if all of his friends jump off a cliff, Susan, you're gonna let him do that too.
I don't think it's a generational thing. I'm not. He's 27. I'm 38. I have a guy, Josh, my buddy Josh, who is the older brother of my other buddy, who won't talk to me for any reasons, but that's a different reason. He used to have all this stuff. The Jordan jerseys, out the wazoo, everything. He just wears Brown stuff now or Cavs stuff now. Like, there is a point where maybe you grow out of it. I think he's way too damn old at 27 years old to be doing that. Don't you got to stand for something?
As long as the kid loves baseball, right? He loves baseball.
That's fine.
If he's going to spend his money on ball caps, I'm okay with it. But he really just loves the City Connect. And we go to a lot of ballparks. He's been to over 25 ballparks. So, you know, he likes to go
Congratulations on all your success.
Susan?
We went out to Oakland last year. I let him buy an Oakland ball cap because it's going to be, you know, just a relic at this point.
I wouldn't want to give any money to John Fisher, though. Susan, thank you very much for the call. I appreciate it. I remain steadfast on this. It's not like you're not a baseball fan. You are a baseball fan. Mitch is a baseball fan. In fact, I would go as far to say Mitch is a baseball guy. Because he's an umpire. So he's a baseball guy. But you're not a Guardians guy. You're not a Guardians fan, Mitch. So it's okay. You can be a baseball guy. You're a baseball analyst.
Why can't I be both?
We are having you host on Saturday after the Guardians game.
Why can't I be both?
So can you get in that
mode
to where you can at least pretend to be a diehard Guardians fan?
I don't need to pretend to be a diehard Guardians fan. When we get to the parade here in a couple of weeks, I'm going to be right there front and center.
He's going to come on the show. He's going to be decked out head to toe.
I mean,
Guardian stuff.
I'm not going to physically remove you from the premises of the parade, but just know that you're participating in a parade that's not for you. It's that simple.
I actually like Mitch being on the postgame show, though. If he is a baseball guy, more than just a Guardians guy, to give me some perspective on what's happening in the playoffs.
Exactly. Right, I'm not begrudging that. But you
it's
don't
okay
sit there
to be a baseball guy.
I guarantee he's watched the Guardians way more than Harold Reynolds.
It's okay to be a baseball guy that watches more Guardians than any other team.
Who's but also a baseball guy. Yeah, he can do that. That's fine.
He's a Washington and Oregon guy.
Hey, Mike Valeni here, host of Cash the Ticket alongside my partner, Jim Costa. It's really simple. Are you tired of podcasts claiming they're a bunch of pro bettors when they live in their mommy's basement? Are you tired of podcasts that claim they hit 80% of the games when really they just lose like most of us? Then Cash the Ticket's the spot for you. We're real. We're transparent. We're having a hell of a good time with it. And we sit there and we're there for the sweat with you guys. We're just trying to figure it out just like you. Follow and listen to Cash the Ticket on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.